Today, I'm going to present our work on power variability in modern laptop processors. This work is part of a five-year project called Variability Expeditions. And my collaborators are John McCullough, Rajesh Gupta, and Yuvraj Agarwal. For those of you who are not familiar with variability, I'm going to give a brief introduction here. If you take identical parts from the market today, which have the same specification and the data sheet, you would expect them to have the same performance and power characteristics. However, this is not the case because of variations in manufacturing processes. And these many process variations can occur at various stages in manufacturing. There can be variation from batch to batch, which are manufactured at different times. Even within the same batch, there can be variations from wafer to wafer. And even the same wafer, there is a variation from die to die. And in the same die, there is variation from one part of the processor to another. Here, the wafer, courtesy of IBM, shows the variation in frequency that can that is obtained in a single silicon wafer. And if you can see that there are different parts of that have lower frequency of operation, and there are some parts which have high frequency of operation. To combat this problem, manufacturers use conservative guard bands. For example, I were to sell all the parts that were coming out of this wafer at a single price point, I would have to sell them at the lowest frequency of operation to guarantee the same consistent performance. Also, but there are parts which have higher performance capabilities, and the hardware remains underutilized. To address this problem, various mitigation techniques are utilized and at various levels, like at the transistor level, adaptive body biasing is used, and at architecture level, error correction circuits are used. Manufacturers also aggressively bin the parts based on frequency and power, and so that the parts which can perform at higher frequency can be sold at a higher price point. ITRS predicts that the problems with variability are going to get worse and worse as transistor sizes become smaller and smaller. In particular, the variation due to static power, that is the power that is consumed by transistor even when it is inactive, is going to get rapidly worse in the future. So there have been other characterization studies, like the study from UCLA, which shows that there is considerable power variability in current ARM Cortex-M3 processors. The figure at the top shows that there is a power variation of 44% across range of temperature in active power. But if you take the sleep power, there is a variation of 900% even at the same room temperature. Another study from UC Irvine, which shows that there is considerable variability in today's memory chips. But perhaps what is missing in this slide is a characterization of general purpose processors like x86, which are commonly used in practice. So why do process level characterization? First, it's hard to predict what the impact of manufacturing process variations would be at the application level. Only a processor level characterization would give us some insight on how these variability effects manifest themselves at the in real world applications. Also, we have seen that various variability mitigation techniques are applied, but only with a processor level characterization would we know how effective these techniques are in practice. Further, even though the parts are aggressively binned according to frequency and power, if we take parts from the same bin, there is bound to be some kind of variation from one part to another. But how much is this variation can only be known if we do a characterization. There are various challenges that come up with characterizing x86 kind of processor, because it's a superscalar processor with various parts into it, like a branch predictor, out-of-order execution, etc. Intel also applies aggressive power-saving strategies using C states, which essentially turn different parts of the processor to sleep when they are not active. And there are also DVFS strategies applied, like Turbo Boost, which boosts the single-threaded performance by increasing the frequency of a core and shutting down the cores which are not being used. The combination of all these factors make it difficult to find if the variation, power variations that we see from the measurements is because of the algorithms that are used in these strategies or because of the manufacturing process variations. Further, there is no public data available which makes possible that, such a system-level characterization, system-level variation study. So we seek to provide such data to the research community as a result of this work. Now that I have explained the motivation of our study, and next I'm going to describe our measurement setup. We use Intel's Core i5 540M processors. These were released in 2010 and have a Nehalem architecture. Each processor has two physical cores and use 32 nanometer process technology. The processor has a thermal limit of 35 watts, and the frequency of operation can be varied from 1.2 gigahertz to 2.5 gigahertz. The frequency can be further increased to 3 gigahertz if turbo boost is applied. There are various sleep states up to a state up to C6 that is supported by the processor, and of course hyperthreading is supported, which lets you run two threads simultaneously in a single core. This figure shows our overall measurement setup. The Calpella motherboard is a specially instrumented motherboard which lets us measure subsystem power like memory, graphics, and hard drive, and CPU, which we are concentrating on in this case. We measure the voltage and the current through the various sensor resistors in the Calpella motherboard using a data acquisition system and feed it into a separate measurement PC. The measurement PC also controls the frequency of operation of the processor and the core on which the benchmarks are running using a test harness. We keep this all in a separate measurement PC so that any of these calculations and the control do not affect the measurements that we obtain from the testbed. The figure here shows the our motherboard, our Calpella motherboard. We ensure that the power that we measure comes only from the core of the CPU. Other parts of the CPU, like the graphics and the memory controller, are kept out of our measurements. In the experiments that we are running is on Linux kernel. We make sure that there are no other threads that are running when we run our experiments. And the measurements we are taking is using a National Instrument DAC, which has a 16-bit ADC, and our sampling rate is 1 millisecond. There are various BIOS options in the BIOS we use. We can toggle between turbo boost states, hyperthreading, and C states. We control the frequency of operation using user space CPU governors and control the core on which the benchmarks are running using Linux CPU set. As with any measurement setup, there are challenges so that we don't introduce any errors because of environmental factors. In this case, the factors could be operating system state or the thermal interaction of the processor with the fan or any transients because of memory or caches. We take a three-step process here. For the transients due to caches or memory, we do multiple iterations of each benchmark. Then to take care of effects due to OS state or hard drive state, we reboot the system and repeat the same set of experiments for the for each processor. And since we have a single motherboard and we are measuring multiple processes on the single motherboard, we have to take the processor out of the socket and put in another processor to make our measurements. In this process, it's very hard to ensure that the thermal interface between the processor and the fan is the same for all the processes. So we repeat the measurement experiments for a single processor by taking it out and plugging it back in so that these effects are taken into account. And all these runs are taken into one experiment set, and any of these effects show up as part of the standard deviation. Further, we have another identical Calpella board, and we repeat the experiments that we do in this board on that board as well. And we see that the trends that we observe in the results shown here is consistent with the second board as well, but the exact data is slightly different. Now that I have described our measurement setup, next I describe the results from our experiments. We define power variation as the percentage difference between the processor having the maximum average power and the processor having the minimum average power. There are two sets of experiments that we have, one which target single-thread applications, the other target multi-threaded. For single-threaded, we use SPECCPU 2006 benchmarks. Out of 36, we use 19 benchmarks, which are representative of the variation that we see. And the configurations that we use are P states, turbo boost, and C states. P states are nothing but different frequencies of operation, but the corresponding voltage at which the processor runs is automatically set by the system. We have 10 different frequencies for this particular processor, and we use 4 frequencies which are interspaced so that we reduce the experiment time. For multi-threaded benchmarks, we use parsec benchmarks, and the configurations we use are hyper-threading and turbo boost. Now I'm going to present the results of one of our configurations for spec benchmarks. The configuration here is turbo boost switched off, C states on, and hyper-threading switched off. The measurements here are absolute power measurements, and as you can see, there is considerable variation in power that you see from each processor for every benchmark. But there are high standard deviations in some of the benchmarks like BZIP2 or POVRAY, and it is unclear whether the variations that we see is because of these standard deviations or because of the underlying process variations. But there are other benchmarks like GCC or GROMAX, which have almost zero standard deviation, and they show the same trends and variability that we see with other benchmarks. In fact, for all the benchmarks here, the ordering of process remain the same, and the power variation that we see for this particular configuration is 12 to 17% across different benchmarks. Now, I present the variation that we see when we toggle the frequency of operation. Each line in this graph represents a different spec benchmark, and we show the power the change in variation as we vary the frequency of operation. It is natural to ask the question why we see such trends in variation. And with the power measurements we have obtained so far, it's hard to say with 100% certainty what the underlying causes. But we are going to present our hypothesis for the trends we see that best explain the data that we have in our data set. For this particular case, we think that as the frequency of is increasing, the corresponding supply voltage set by the system is also increasing. And with the increase in supply voltage, there is an increase in leakage power. And as we saw in some of the earlier work, that the leakage power contributes significantly to the total variation of the system. And the increase in leakage power here is also contributing to an increase in variation as the frequency increases. Next, I present the effect of change in turbo boost in the single-threaded benchmarks. And as you can see here, there is a significant boost in the total power as turbo boost is switched on, and the performance also increases, which I have not shown in this graph. What is interesting to notice is that the ordering of the processor still remains the same for even when turbo boost is switched on. In fact, for all the experiments that I'm going to present here, the ordering remains the same, irrespective of whether you turn turbo boost on and off, you turn C states on and off, or hyper-threading on and off. For turbo boost switched on, we see a variation of 7 to 12%. And this is contradictory to something we saw earlier, because when turbo boost is switched off, the power variation was 12 to 17%. And the power variation is decreasing as turbo boost is switched on. But when the P states were increasing, as the frequency was increasing, we saw that the variation is also increasing. And we would have expected, as the turbo boost is switched on, the variation is also should have increased. The reason behind this, we think, is that when turbo boost is activated, the core which is not being used is shut down aggressively, and all the leakage power that could have been contributing to the circuit is reduced, and the corresponding variation is also reduced. Now I'm going to present a combination of the turbo boost and C states. Here, the red lines and the blue lines represent the same data that we saw in the previous slide. And as you can see, the variation when the turbo boost is switched on is quite low with the blue line. And if we look at the C states being toggled on and off, let's look at the turbo on state and compare the pink and the blue lines. When C states are switched off, there seems to be a considerable increase in the total variation. However, when we look at the turbo boost switched off case, that is the distinction between red and green lines, the distinction is much lower, and in fact, there are 5 outliers in this case. However, by and large, we see that there's an increase in variation when turbo boost is disabled, and there's an increase in variation when C states are disabled. As C states are disabled, the parts which would have been normally turned off because they are not in use are no longer being turned off, and the leakage power from these circuits contribute to the total variation, and hence the total variation increases when the C states are disabled. Next, we present the results of our multi-threaded benchmark, that is Parsec benchmarks. And as we can see from the graph, there is still a significant variation with parallel benchmarks and both cores being active. Further, the trends remain consistent with what we saw with single-threaded benchmarks. The variation is decreasing when turbo boost is switched on, and it further decreases when hyper-threading is switched on. The reason we think that hyper-threading when disabled leads to an increase in variation is that when hyper-threading goes active, there's a drop in the frequency of operation, which leads to which is a subset of the case when P states have lower frequency of operation. And when the hyper-threading circuits are disabled, there's a chance that the corresponding leakage is not completely shut off, and those leakage currents also contribute to the variation. Now that I have presented the results, I will present the implications of the results we saw and future directions of research. First, we saw that the leakage power is the dominant cause of variation in all the trends that we saw. And although we could not prove conclusively that this is the cause, we would like to do more experiments and obtain more conclusive proof of the variations that we see. Further, we saw that there is a variability in processors today, and other work has shown that there is variability in memory and flash drives as well. And the aggregate of all these variations is going to affect the battery lifetime of your laptop devices. Further, our prior work has shown that modeling of power in today's hardware has become difficult because of many hidden states which are not exposed to the software level. However, with power variation, the modeling is going to get even harder. So it becomes even more challenging. Finally, we observe that the within die variation, that is the variation from running the benchmark in one core versus the another, is very small in the measurements that we obtained. And in the future directions of research, we are going to investigate the causes further using performance counters and characterize other class of processors, like the next generation processor which was released by Intel, Sandy Bridge and Ivy Bridge, and also other platforms like server class processors and cell phone processors. Finally, we would like to develop system level variability that would help in modeling the variability in such a way that we need not measure the power of each processor, and maybe we can predict it without doing that. In conclusion, we saw that the total power variation is varies from 7% to 7% across different configuration at 2.5 gigahertz operation. And the variation increases with increase in frequency of operation, with when turbo boosts are disabled, when C states are disabled, and when hyper-threading is disabled. We hypothesize that the leakage power is the dominant cause of the variation. And we have released our data set in the following URL. The URL is also present in the paper. Thank you. Now I'll take your questions.
seems like one of the central hypotheses here is that that leakage is sort of the dominant source of variation. And so one of the things that we've observed in measuring Sandy Bridge and Ivy Bridge chips is that the exponential dependence of leakage on temperature is so massive that it's in fact even visible over the range of temperatures that you get, from starting with an idle core, at 55 degrees C, to you run the thing for a while, it gets up to 75 or 80 degrees C, and that ends up being a 3 or 4 watt difference in the leakage power. Mm-hmm. Now this is obviously a lower TDP chip, but I'm wondering, have you seen any temperature dependence, or in your test setup, are you monitoring temperature? And if not, perhaps that's something when you do these experiments again, I would suggest you guys try to get a handle on whether some of the leakage variations coming from temperature change.
Yes, actually, temperature measurements would definitely give a better indication of whether leakage is the actual cause of the variation that we see. The measurements we have done do not have temperature variation, and we are working on that in the next set of experiments we have.
From Facebook. So one of your graphs showed frequency on the x-axis, and I believe you're looking at under a number of different benchmarks. And I was curious, have you tried to do any classification there in terms of,
go ahead.
Have you done any classification on which benchmarks like are more sensitive and less sensitive? Because all this variability, none of this is kind of unique in the sense that the rest of the graphs are showing variability between processors, right? And this is within one processor, I believe, right?
This is averaged for all processors.
For all
processors.
So, yes. So this is showing the sensitivity to the benchmark itself, right?
Does that make sense? The benchmarks, yes, to some extent, like each line here represents a different benchmark.
Right. So, like, for instance, do you have an idea of like what red or blue is and why?
The red one is actually BZ2.
Okay.
The reason I have not put up like 19 benchmarks in the single legend is because it would get really confusing, and the overall trend here is the same. BZ2 has kind of an outlier here, because from the graph here you could see that there is a higher standard deviation,
right,
and one of the measurements that we see is like really goes high when the frequency is like 2.4 gigahertz. But for other, we didn't really see that much variation in this particular experiment. In the previous experiment with C-state, there is here where the green graph, which goes really up and down in terms of variation per benchmark, and here there are actually a set of six benchmarks that are kind of outliers from the rest of the benchmarks, like SPORAY, SOPLEX, BZIP2. And when I looked into their characteristics, there doesn't seem to be anything in common except for one thing, is that they seem to have higher percentage of load instructions. And I really can't say why would higher number of load instructions would affect, because they are not leading to misses or something.
Well, so one idea might be, if something's more memory bound, I would expect it to have less sensitivity to frequency, right? Because it's kind of just however long the memory accesses take. Whereas if it's not, you run at a higher frequency, you're retiring more like floating point operations or something like that. That's one idea. But so on these, how do you define maximum variation here? Is it the difference between processors and their average power over the entire run?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That was the other clarification. Okay, thanks.
Still time for further questions. Just other one.
Yeah. This is Mian Dong from Samsung Electronics. Mm-hmm. So could you help me to like better understand how to translate this power variance to like the implications of a design or power optimization? For example, this you're saying there is 17% of power difference between two processors. Mm-hmm. Then suppose processor A has a 17% of higher power consumption than processor B. Then will the like power optimization different than between the A and B?
The power optimization in the sense of how we are exploiting, how going to exploit such a power variation, or is the underlying optimizations that are done, is it the same? I'm just asking, clarifying your question.
Sorry, My question basically was, yes, there's a 17% of difference, so what?
So how would we exploit it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So 17% is not high, and what we are doing already in terms of mitigation techniques is probably getting affected, and it's probably good. But even the only way which we can probably exploit is when we have multi-socket motherboards and you want to run your benchmarks on as less energy as efficient as possible, then you would run the benchmarks or your applications as much as possible on the energy efficient core. But as this is going in the future and it's gonna get worse and worse, and that 17% can get into 25%. In fact, we do have some preliminary measurements for Sandy Bridge, and the percentage we are seeing is much higher. And I can't say with certainty that it is going to be 40% or something, but it's gonna increase. And how do you handle this is something I'm going to address.
Okay, so the takeaway message is that, well, suppose in the future the difference will be like 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Then every single processor should have its own personalized power optimization thing, or is that something like that?
Yeah, so the thing comes down to, right now we'll have to measure to see if there is any variation between the two. So how do we just, without doing measurements on the motherboard and finding out there is variability, how do we model it and take it offline so that we can apply the same algorithm to all the motherboards that are possible? So that's kind of the...
Okay, thank you.
If you get the chip that's 17% worse, you should ship it back to Intel. Any other questions? Go ahead. We still have time.
Hi, thanks for the talk. This is Krishna, and I'm from Intel Corporation. What?
We have some chips for you.
I would encourage you to try reading the energy MSRs
that
we have.
Mm-hmm.
So, I see that you're measuring, package and CPU energy consumption, using the DACs, instrumented DACs.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage you to, try reading the energy MSRs and...
Yeah, definitely. That is also in our next steps. We're going to, not only would the MSRs help explain the underlying causes, it would probably help with how accurate are we seeing in terms of performance counters to what we measure.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, thanks.
All right, well, let's stop.